Welcome to Get Lit with Literature. This is Monk. Today doing a book review of a new book of poetry, Future Symptoms by A. Malotkov. It's published by The Word Works. WordWorksBooks.org. And A. Malotkov is a, for many, many years, a fellow artist friend. He's in Oregon. He visited me once, and we both read together at a Barnes & Noble, so that was a memorable time, and I very much like his newest book, so I wanted to help promote and feature this book. Let's see, first of all, the technical data, it's substantial, it's about 120 pages, and oh yeah, also to mention, he's in the many years in the haiku calendar that I publish. Not typically traditionally haiku, because his work tends to be, I would say, quirky, avant-garde, and the word I always have to look up, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, innovative. That's fitting of the word. I think I like to say innovative, but I think it's innovative. Anyway, his work is full of surprises, and this particular book, it makes one think. There's various surreal imagery in it. I want to read some of the highlights from it, and, you know, my highlights. And I like the title. At first was sort of disconcerting, like, whoa, Future Symptoms. But as I read the book and the more I thought about it, it's like, I like the title. It prompts one to think about what's going on nowadays and, you know, where are things going. So in that sense, the Future Symptoms is evocative. And one of the standouts in the first sections, I read a lot of it rather quickly. It's got depth to it, but it's also a smooth read. If you're, you know, go from poem to poem, there's a nice flow to it. And it has a bunch of sections that are entitled Minus Air, Entropy Lessons, Body Facts, Air Wisdoms, and 100. And it starts off with a nice little haiku-esque epigraph. I keep my hands small to touch the world lightly as it wants to be touched. I keep my hands small to touch the world lightly as it wants to be touched. One of the beginning standouts in the beginning for me was a lot. Some of it is connecting George Floyd with the virus times, as obviously there was a sense of breathing was an issue there. So he has a refrain where he says, "I am George Floyd. I am not George Floyd." Then it goes on to talk about the quarantine and different effects, and, you know, the sense of air and freedom. So it's a very stirring, evocative piece. Now, as far as the poetics of the book, there's a lot. The layout is reminding me of some of Lawrence Ferlinghetti, where it's all over the page, and some of what I might call like a sort of modern E.E. Cummings. There, he uses the like when you can put a line through the text, sort of like a half redacted, and so he has a line, the virus pretends to be the president, and president is crossed out. I think this is kind of alluding to the, you know, the lack of the action taken by the president at the time, and that was contributing to the, you know, awful response to the virus. So there is very interesting poetically in the structure-wise, and I like oftentimes how he uses a technique that I call flip the perspective, when you see something through a different angle than you might typically. So here's a line, learn me by heart as a song learns its singer. Here's a short, I'll read this little short poetic, haiku-ish piece, history lesson. One day a city was built, then it was destroyed. Somewhere in between passed our lives, long like an eyelash. There's space between the words where I paused there. Here's another one I like, a self-portrait. This eye, a tweaked angel turned inside out, soul of plastic, white dust, white memory. The past is powder. Objects bleed, molecules fill my wheelbarrow with questions, not all belonging to me. How do I fit everything finite, everything entranced like the world itself? Its face, its shivering body, its pink dawn, its long white day, its bright masterful night. It's not my stop, but I step out. Not my life, but I make it mine. And another nicely titled poem, Mission of Empathy, a line that stood out to me. Here we are, a tired stranger, an intersecting line in living geometry. Here we are, every string was pulled so we could meet. Your face shines with mysteries to learn. How can I hear you clearly? So there's a lot of room, you know, between the lines. The spaces is very evocative of, you know, people searching for themselves and interacting with other people in the world. It's sort of one of the themes, so to speak. Another line I like in a poem titled Unchronology. I love faces of strangers opening to their lives. And here's an excellent line I like. It's very Zen koan-ish. An empty mind plans no atrocities. An empty mind plans no atrocities. That's preceded by an empty vessel holds no dynamite. In a short poem called First, reciprocation in advance, a simple rule to combat the world's precarious tilting, its drastic split into those with a future and those without, a gift given first. And another kind of, I like the way he uses the sort of what I would call, like in art, I guess, the empty space and the, you know, sort of, again, somewhat of that flip perspective. The poem is the sum of your life, and it ends with what didn't happen is a part of you. That's the kind of line that makes me think, like we think of our lives as like, oh, this happened and then this happened and then this happened. But to stop and think, you know, well, that didn't happen, and that could make all the difference. Some days on a quiet day or a, you know, nothing much happens, and rather than they get bummed out, I sometimes think, wow, well, hey, it wasn't the most exciting day, but there's a lot of like bullshit that didn't happen. So, hey, it was a good day. I'm glad for that. So that's the kind of evocativeness in this book. And again, that flip the perspective, what will storm clouds think of me? And a couple more lines I really like. This is in a poem called Hunger for Information. May your story remain untranslatable. May it be endless. May your story remain untranslatable. May it be endless. I like that a lot because with all the information and all the times we try to define ourselves and talk and explain and do everything, but like sometimes I'm just sitting around and I realize like it's that sense of inner true eternal self is beyond any of the labels, beyond any of that. So particularly like that line a lot. May your story remain untranslatable. May it be endless. And it slows down towards the end of the book. There's a section called 100. And so the one poem is called 10 Questions. And then there's one called 10 Mysteries, which is very much a performance piece. The space under the floorboards is recognized as the most likely hiding place. Listening to darkness has this effect. Many years pass. There's another one called 10 Fears with some of the text is in a very tiny, tiny font. 10 Mini Philosophies. That starts off, if I share something, do you promise not to tell anyone? Many philosophers operate on a limited scale in order to avoid moral compromises required of their full-size counterparts. You wake up in the morning, you go outside, you open your umbrella. The leaves keep falling from the sky, scattered by a generous hand. A mini-philosophy is an arbitrary compendium of contrasting thoughts on a given topic, taken together with their various interpretations. You understand, it's autumn and there is nothing you can do about it. Metaphorically speaking, being a mini-philosopher is a walk in the park, even if there is no park and one has long forgotten how to walk. You keep walking, showered with bright banners of this late love, letting the cold bottled up in you mix with the greater cold, with this dank twilight, with the lazy hiss of the fearful wind. This sentence is in a mini font, too small to read. It actually is not in a mini font, but he says that, so it's reminded me too sometimes of one of my favorite short story writers, Jorge Luis Borges, and he plays around with kind of mental, kind of mind challenges your mind to think about stuff. So the line, this sentence is in a mini font too small to read, is not in a mini font too small to read. And this, the latter section 100, the 10 mini philosophies, it's a little bit almost like prose poetry. I don't like to overly label it, but it's a little bit like that. He has a line here. Jacob Klein takes Gettier's challenge to heart, arguing that knowledge is essentially impossible without some intuition mixed in. It very much aligns with what I've heard of native people's way of being and thinking, that just the information and the knowledge is not enough. We need to highlight our intuition. And another, flip the perspective. As you read this sentence, it makes its own conclusions about you. And sometimes it's rather amusing. I found some of the lines in the playfulness and in the somewhat surrealistic way, some of it comes across as quite amusing. And another philosophical statement, illusion insists that it is immune to our attempts to constrain the world too tightly. Illusion insists that it is immune to our attempts to constrain the world too tightly. Quantum mechanics contributes that the observer directly impacts the observed. It's all the same. In this mini philosophy, we remove the distinction between the observer and the observed. Snow drifts inviting to share in their cool oblivion, colorful pyramids of dry leaves, flowers with their fragile offer. And another one that stood out, because there's not a lot of there's not a lot of social, political kind of commentary. The beginning section, definitely about, the president and George Floyd and Eric Garner. That is the more loaded section. But generally, the book is not that way. But the lines that stood out to me, too, as a wonderful summary of a lot of the cacistocracy is in the 10 mini philosophies. However, it could be argued that the rich are the ones who commit most crimes as they attempt to mold the reality to their needs. I'll read that one again. However, it could be argued that the rich are the ones who commit most crimes as they attempt to mold the reality to their needs. So that's open for a whole discussion there. But, when you think about I think about the mining and extractivism and the technology and controlled by these mega wealthy corporations and the billionaires getting to have more say in the world than, the common people. So that little phrase speaks volumes. And then more kind of pondering, when I address you in this account, does the event happen at the moment of my writing or your reading? Or is it, in fact, suspended between the two moments? I've thought about that a lot, just how you could pick up a book at any time and read something that was written long ago or the other day, and it just sits there. Like I compare it to like spice jar in the kitchen. It has a whole history of the plant and the sun and the wind, and it sits doing nothing on your rack, and then all of a sudden you open it up and put it in a meal and it's alive again. So Mladkov poses that in the book sense about the words just sitting there on the page and the energy that goes into it when it was written, and then it sits there in a way and kind of limbo, is it? And then it comes alive again, and which is the truest moment, or are they all? And then that section ends, you keep walking until you realize that you are already there. This sentence believes in you, stranger. So that's my favorite section, is the 10 mini philosophies. Then he's got 10 Tools, 10 Love Stories, and a wonderful piece for John Cage, the experimental musician, for lack of a better label at the moment, is called 10 Silences. And it's just the 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 with spacing on the page and nothing, no text whatsoever. I think John Cage did a performance piece where there was, if I remember correctly, just listening to silence, which is much needed actually nowadays. That's not just, I don't think that's just a performance piece. I think that's a reminder for what we need to actually sit and listen to the silence, because if you do that long enough, and over the years of meditating and just sitting quietly, I began to hear noises and sounds and little buzzes and hisses and subtleties in the silence. So in effect, the silence is not silent. And he's, again, there's one called 10 Theories. It's kind of like one of the themes in the book is kind of a self-searching and a finding oneself in amidst the fragmented world. So he has a line, at a lost street crossing, you wait for yourself. You move quintessential, unlike most of us. You let the street go where it wants. The missing space floats, a memory in its own right. A bulb in the ground turns into light on its own terms. I open the window so I may see you someday. Your eyes are brighter than mine, the birthmark on your shoulder. They all agree you grow out of everything while I creep in cracks between better things. And it ends, book ends with 10 doors with a quote from Rumi as an epigraph. Don't go back to sleep. The last line of the book is very, I appreciate it very much. It's kind of like the reader reaching out through the book and the author reaching out, putting his arm around the reader. And it's, any town is hometown. I am not asleep. Whoever you are, I want to be with you inside this remembering. So again, a lovely collection of poems by A. Malotkov, which I recommend very much. And actually, in a non-sequitur artist kind of way, I was planning to read his bio at the beginning of the book, but I'm at the beginning of this, but I forgot. So, read the bio now. Let's see some of his bio here. He's his previous poetry collections are The Catalog of Broken Things, Application of Shadows, Synonyms for Silence. His memoir, A Broken Russia Inside Me, is about growing up in the USSR and making a new life in America, and that's forthcoming from Propertius. Malotkov also co-edits the Inflectionist Review, and he has a collection of 10 short stories, Interventions in Blood, which is part of Hawaii Review issue 91. You can visit him, find out more about his works at amalotkov.com. That's AMOLOTKOV.com. And he also has done his website, I don't think it still does, but he used to have on very interesting photos and visual art, experimental film and music. So he's a multi-talented, multi-diversified artist working in various mediums, particularly the written one, and his poetry is very interesting, so I encourage people to check it out. All right, thanks for listening. Be well.